Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Are you guys ready to hear the word of God this morning? Yes or no? I love it. Well, God's going to do something great in your life. And I want to ask that in just the beginning moments of our journey into the Word, you would make a big decision. And that is, no matter what, today I'm listening with my mind and my heart completely here. I don't want to just be here in body and somewhere else in my mind. I want to be right here and present because God is going to do something great. So I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to get you ready to capture what God talks to you about, because it won't matter really beyond 20 or 30 minutes we're here together. If you don't actually capture and apply what God says to you about, you really miss an opportunity. So let's be ready to do that. If you're interested in paper notes, flag the ushers down. They're going to make sure everybody has some that wants them. Those of you that are interested in capturing them digitally, I believe they're ready for you now. So go ahead and open up your Bible app, YouVersion or our LifeLink app. I want to make sure that you're ready to capture that. If by chance they're not there, they weren't there in the first service. If they're not there, just open your notes and just write down what God talks to you about. The truth is, the most important thing you hear in the next 20 or 30 minutes may not be something I say. It's probably something God says to you while my mouth is moving. So that's really what you're listening for. Fair enough? So here's the deal. My mouth will keep moving if your ear will keep listening. And somewhere in the middle of all that, God's going to talk to you. And if you'll capture what he says to you, put it into practice, your life's going to make a radical shift. All right? We're starting a sermon series this morning called Frequency. And what we're really doing is we're celebrating the big things God's been doing by challenging people to say yes to who he is. In fact, 2 Sundays ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we do every Sunday. But we really focused on it that day because Resurrection Sunday, or as our culture calls it, Easter Sunday, we really made a big push for the picture of God's faithfulness, to really connect with people. That's a picture of his heart. And to say yes to follow him as a result of that, and just make the decision to follow him as the Lord and Savior. And I wanted to remind all of you that perhaps either we're not here that Sunday, or maybe you've missed last Sunday too, that we actually saw 154 indications, written indications, of people who made a decision to say yes to Jesus, either for the first time or the first time in a long time as a refreshed commitment. And I think that's worth a little celebration this morning. Can we say that together this morning? Come on. And then last Sunday, how many of you were here last Sunday? Let me see your hand. All right, so you saw with your own eyes what happened in the journey of last week. We saw collectively 50 people water baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, put your hands together a little bit bigger this time, and let's celebrate. Now, how many of you were actually here last Sunday in the second service? Let me see your hand. Okay, so you guys are like my heroes, because you actually stayed through the longest service in LifeLink's history. And you acted like you didn't want to go. Now, I don't know if you wanted to go or not, but you acted like you didn't. Really, there was such a profound presence of God in the place, watching person after person after person actually step out to say yes to Jesus. And what I love about what we experienced was most of those people did not walk in the door with a premeditated yes. They heard the sound of what God said to them during the message. And in the message and in the ensuing example of what God was doing in the lives of people who said yes, they felt connected with God and said yes. So I'm going to celebrate that with you this morning and just say how proud I am of all of you and how pleased I am to be a part of a ministry that Jesus champions life change with. Isn't that awesome? All right, so we watch God inspire people to say yes and move forward with that journey the last 2 weeks in a big way. But today, as we open up this series, it's a 3-week series called Frequency, I'm going to be dealing with a topic that honestly is the most asked question for people who are either already church people or the people brand new to the idea of who Jesus is. That is the question: how can I hear God? Some way or another that people ask, how do I get better at hearing his voice? How do I hear him to begin with? How do I know it's really him? All those other things. Does God really speak today? And so what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is really tackle that particular issue, because as we saw last week, God really did intend for us to follow him through this life. So his lordship is not a ritual application, or it's not an idea that we ascribe to. It's a function of following him as our leader. And most of you that were here last week saw that I was using the illustration of taking one step and then the next step and then the next step and then the next step, and really saying a person is following me in relationship if that person is actually taking those steps. Because if they just stay in the place of decision but don't follow through with the steps, they may know some things about God, but the relationship gets further and further and further away until it's not a functional relationship at all. And Jesus made the clear point in the book of Matthew that relationship is everything. Religious rituals and how good we are at looking Christian have nothing to do with our position in eternity. God wants us to actually recognize his son Jesus Christ and learn to follow him step by step through this life. Why? Because this life is, the Bible gives us a very clear picture, this life only lasts a second. The Bible says that this life is like a vapor. It's just here for a second and gone tomorrow. That's what life is going to feel like. As a pastor, I've had the privilege of standing beside many people who are just about to step across the line of eternity and into eternity, and that's what they all said. My life was so fast. It was here today and gone tomorrow. It's just too short. And I wish I would have done some different things. Had I known it was going to feel this short, I probably would have lived differently. And some of those kind of sentiments. So what I want to do this morning is really focus in on what is the big part of this life, what's the most important thing in this life, and that is hearing the voice of Jesus and following. Why? Because that's what it means to be in relationship with him. You can't be in a relationship with something that isn't connecting with you. So God wants you to know that he's speaking today. And hearing is not just a possibility, it's critically central to who we are as we relate with him. So, we're going to start the series this morning in John chapter 10, verse 3, says this. The watchman, and Jesus is using an illustration here of a shepherd and some sheep. He said, the watchman or the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and his sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Everyone say they know his voice. But they'll never recognize or follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. So Jesus is explaining with very clear language that hearing his voice is a key to following him and not being confused with the many other voices that are in the experience of who we are as people. So let me just visit this just for a moment. Jesus is saying, now listen, here's how it's going to work. The shepherd, and in this picture, he's using the shepherd as the leader and the sheep as the followers, or Jesus the shepherd and we the sheep following his leadership. Does that make sense? And he's using the example that the sheep know how to hear his voice, and the sound of his voice is unique to them, and they learn how to identify that voice and follow that voice in the confusion of everything else that's in the road. All right. He also says, I call them out by name, which means Jesus wants to talk to you individually. It's not just I'm going to broadcast a message, you know, on my Twitter feed for the whole world to see. I want to talk to you personally. I call you by name. You're important to me by name. So he wants to talk to you about what's unique to you. Then he says this, I go before them. I go ahead of them. Get a picture of that just for a minute. How many of you feel like you're walking into some really heavy stuff here in the next few days? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. Big situation at home, maybe a big situation at work, some test at school or whatever it is. How would you like to know that Jesus wants to walk ahead of you into that situation? Kind of clear the path a little bit, line some stuff up for you, clear some things out, get you ready. That's what he says. I go before them, I call them by name, they follow me. Well, that means they're behind and they're following my leadership. So that's the picture of what it means to relate with God. And again, hearing his voice clearly as him gives us the best chance of actually following him and not getting lost. So, God is speaking. The question I have for you is, do you hear it among the other voices? Proverbs 3, verse 6 in the Message paraphrase says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So, what I want to do this morning is actually really identify some things that get in the way of us hearing the voice of God clearly. Things that affect our ability to hear God clearly. And I'm going to ask that you would go ahead and just decide, again, this is something I need to know for me today. So don't take notes for your neighbor. Take notes for you, because God wants to connect with you on this idea. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, he says this sentence, "He or whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Let him hear. Now that sounds odd, because you might be looking at your neighbor and go, "You definitely have ears. I've got ears. What does that mean?" Let me give you a working picture. When I was a little guy, about 6, 8, 9, 10 years old, I would go with my brother and family up to my papa and nana's house in Ohio. And it was so much fun, because, you know, they had a television in their house. And when I was a little kid, we didn't have a television. We're kind of in a particular dynamic or dimension of church. They believed that not having a television is a good idea. So my parents didn't have a television. Now, I thought that was a stupid idea when I was a kid. Now, the older I get, the more I realize it's probably a really good idea. But back then, it felt like a prison, because I couldn't watch TV like everybody else in school. So it just felt like a restriction. But I go to Papa and Nana's house, they had a TV, and I loved it. So I loved hanging out with my Papa in the kitchen, and there was a little black and white TV in there. And there was a game by Atari called Pong. I don't know if you guys remember some of that, the little white paddles that go up and down, and the ball that would go back and forth, and it was a lot of fun, you know, back in the Stone Age with Fred Flintstone. Anyway, so that was the era I grew up in. So I'd sit there with my papa in the kitchen. My nana was out in the living room, and that's where the good TV was. You know, the color one? That's where my nana was. My papa was in the kitchen with the black and white one. You know why my nana got the color one? Because she was the wife. Happy wife, happy life. See, listen, ladies, we're on to you. We know. So we're giving you the good stuff. We know how you roll. But we just, honestly, what I really noticed was not where the color television was. What I noticed was my papa. It was interesting, because he'd be in there reading his Beagle magazines. And my nana would be out there talking, "Hey, Shots." His name was Shots. I don't know how they got Shots out of Clarence. His name was actually Clarence, but they call him Shots. "Hey, Shots." Blah, blah, blah. And she'd start talking. He'd go, "Mm-hmm." Talk, mm-hmm. Talk, mm-hmm. Talk, mm-hmm. And it was the most interesting. I learned at 8 years old, here's what you do when you're a husband. If you'll just mm-hmm, she'll stay in that room and keep talking. Because when he stopped saying mm-hmm, she'd get up off the couch and she'd walk in and say, "Clarence, are you listening to me?" So it wasn't Shots anymore. Now it was Clarence. Now the ire has been stirred, you know, now it's Clarence. Now we got an issue. So just give him a little mm-hmm. So here's what the reason I'm talking about that is, he had ears. He could hear that she was saying words. He was not clued into what she was actually saying. Make sense? Somebody just give me uh-huh. Nice. Okay, y'all understand that's what Jesus was saying. Don't give God a token uh-huh. That's not ears to hear. Ears to hear means I'm anxious to hear what you're actually communicating. And here's how you know I want to hear it. I put it into action when I hear it. I engage your words. And every husband and every wife and every parent and every child, it doesn't matter when you're young or whether you're old, you know what it's like when you're being engaged in communication. And that's what God is saying. I'm talking. Are you listening? If you have ears to hear, then hear. What's he saying? A lot of people have ears. They're wired with the hardware to hear God, but they're not listening. Why? They either don't know how, or the things that you're supposed to be listening with, which is your heart, is all plugged up and distracted and all kind of messed up. So we're going to talk about what God actually is saying with this. So Jesus actually goes into the process. Now he's going to illustrate what is it like to actually hear the words from God or hear his voice? And he uses the illustration again, a story. And he says a farmer is going to go out and he's going to sow some seeds. And so in this story, he actually later on explains it in great detail to his followers. And he said, the story is this: the farmer is God and the seeds are his word. But in this illustration, he's actually going through the process and said, a farmer's going to sow some seeds, and the reason you sow seed is so that it produces a crop. Does that make sense? The only reason you ever want to sow some seed is if you want to get a crop out of it, a result, something that's flourishing and thriving and those kinds of things. So he said, farmer goes out to sow some seeds, and the seed falls into different types of earth. And the earth then is The seed's the same, the farmer's the same. The product or the fruit, the result of what's produced is not tied to the farmer, it's not tied to the seed, it's tied to the earth. That makes sense? So he said, now here's four conditions that affect the ability for produce to happen. Here's the way he said it. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering seeds, or his voice, his word, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Others fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Then he said, there in verse 8, he rounds out again with the verse we just talked about. When he said this, he called out and he said, now listen, everybody, whoever has ears to hear, which means the ability and desire to hear the words, let them hear. So let's talk about four conditions of the heart we use to listen to God with. Write this down in your notes. Number one is the polluted heart. A polluted heart. You're like, I'm not sure, what does that mean? Look carefully at what he said in verse, Jesus explains in verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, and so they may not believe it and be saved. In other words, it was not received, and because of that, scavengers came and took it away and took it away. So let me give you a word picture. In verse 5, when he was talking about the seed fell on the path, it was trampled on. The path is like the ground that people walk on. And because it was not in goods, it wasn't received, it wasn't taken in and deposited, it just stayed there. And then the enemy came and took it away like a scavenger. So let me give you a word picture of what this might be. A polluted heart. Imagine you're going to go to lunch. How many of you are going to go to lunch after the service? Are y'all on a fast? All right, let me say that again, because I want to see if you're actually listening. How many are going to lunch after this service? Okay, good. You're going to eat something. So picture you're going to go out, and let's just say, for example, you were going to go out and have prime rib. Let's say you're prime rib special in a restaurant. You love it with garlic mashed potatoes. No, loaded twice baked mashed potatoes. Let's do it like that. And some carrots. And I don't know what else you like, but there it is. And so you've ordered it. You're sitting at the table. It's taking forever. And finally, the server comes out, and he or she's walking with the plate or the tray, and you can see there's your steaming plate of food. And somebody else says, excuse me. And as they turn to see who it was, your plate actually slipped to the edge, and your prime rib fell off and fell on the floor. He or she didn't see it. It's probably a he, because guys are kind of clueless, right, ladies? No, I'm pretty much sure. I'm just kidding. So he or she's walking, steps on something. He's like, oh, that was kind of moist on the ground. Looks back and realizes, oh, a steak fell on the ground. Here, let me pick that up. And he puts it back on your plate and then brings it to your table and sets it down in front of you. How many of you will ravishly tear into that steak? No, it's going to sit there. Why? Because it was trampled on. It was polluted. It was mixed in with contaminants on the floor. Right? A polluted heart means there was something good, but it got mixed up in the polluted stuff. And because of that, it was not taken in and produced. It just sat there. And pretty soon, then scavengers came and take it away. And Jesus is saying, basically, if your heart's polluted, you're not going to receive the essence of that word. Why? Because it'll be rejected. The pollution will drive it away. Pollution will drive it away. Let me give you a quick little idea on this. God is speaking. He is speaking. He doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. And Jesus is saying there are some conditions of your heart that actually affect your ability to receive the words I'm saying, my voice or my word, in a way that produces results in your life. So if your heart is full of pollution, then what I'm saying is going to get shifted and altered in a way that you won't receive it. So you may be thinking, well, what's polluting my heart? God is very clear about what our heart is, in the sense that whatever comes in actually comes down and affects our soul, our heart, and causes us to have mindsets or concepts or ideas that are either fruitful to the way He works or resistant to the way He works. Most of the pollution, you guys, that affect our ability to hear God are things we do ourselves. It's choices that we make. choices that we make. For example, it is highly likely that you understand the importance of nutrition and how it affects the cellular health of your body. And that saturated fats are terribly unhealthy for the cells of your body. The nitrates and all those other eights and all those really long labels that you can't really read, the words on the back of the labels you can't read and never stop to read anyway. If it's all that long, it's probably not healthy for you anyway. There's something about us, we know here that everything that makes a cheeseburger good is not good for us. Causes hardening of the arteries, causes cholesterol, causes blood sugar problems, causes all those things. We know it. It's possible for us to actually be healthy. But yet, dinner after dinner after dinner, I may choose, and you can take one look at me and see that this is true, to have the cheeseburger. I could eat the celery. I could eat the green bean with no oil and no butter and no garlic salt on it and no anything else. You see what I'm saying? It's like we know it, and it's possible that we could be healthy, but choice after choice after choice, we put things down the pipe that ultimately affect the cells of our body. Isn't that true? Our heart, the very thing that hears God, is very similar to that. What we put down the pipe actually affects the condition of our heart. It alters the way our heart perceives reality. The choices we make, media that we ingest, come on, we do this. Company that we keep, ideas we hang around with. All those ideas go into who we are, in the soul of who we are, and it literally affects us. And just because something doesn't look bad, come on, Pastor David, it's just country music. You know, there's nothing wrong with country music. I mean, it's not acid rap or nothing, you know. It's not whatever, you know. It's not that. It's just country music. I use country music because country music's kind of got this, somehow has got this idea that it's safe music. But have you ever listened to the I lost my wife to my best friend. Don't. She gave her heart to him. Oh my damn. He stole my wife and my truck. Oh my God. Down. So that's why I stole her wife. Down. Listen, don't let the innocuous down fool you. What's the message of that song? Well, she stole my wife. He stole my wife, so now I'm stealing somebody else's wife. And you just sing it over and over. He stole my wife. All the way down there. No wonder you're running people off the road on 202 because somebody stole your wife. You're like, oh, come on, that's just a... what are you watching on Netflix as you binge for hour after hour after hour? What? God wants you to know the things you put in actually do truly affect the way your heart processes concepts and ideas. If you think, well, gee, Pastor Dave, are you the moral police now? Gonna watch what I watch? No. You know, because what you watch doesn't affect me. Affects you. So ask God, hey, is this okay for me to watch? And just see what he says. Oh, I don't want to do that. Why? Because he'd probably tell me not to watch that. Duh. Right? But he said a polluted heart does not receive the word and just sits there. So what does he say? James chapter 1, verse 25, chapter 1, verse 21. Get rid of all moral filth and evil in our lives. And humbly accept the word that God planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. What's he saying? Listen, talk to God about what you're actually ingesting. Media, what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, environment you entertain yourself with. and just ask God, hey, is this okay? Ask this, Jesus, would you listen to this with me? Would you sing that song with me? Jesus, would you watch this with me? Jesus, would you do that with me? If he probably would say no to those questions, gonna guess he probably doesn't want you to watch that, sing that, do that, go there. If you can't picture Jesus in there doing all that, it's probably a good idea to not do that. Why? Because there's a reason. It's fair enough? None of that was in my notes. That's just all freestyle. So because I've got about 15 minutes now of time to make up, y'all better listen fast. Y'all ready? Because I held you along last week. The bottom line is Jesus said, God said in his word, get rid of the moral filth. Why? Because a polluted heart can't hear and receive the word of God. Number two is a distracted heart. A distracted heart keeps you from hearing God's voice too. Jesus used this illustration. He said, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and then they fall away when they face temptation. In other words, they're distracted by something that looked a little more appealing. Sometimes we identify things in our mind that look evil as temptations. But the distractions here are not necessarily evil in their essence. They could simply be a good thing that has become a distraction. Think about this. Technology. Or more importantly, maybe closer to home, a mobile phone, a smartphone. I was reading a statistic or listened to a statistic recently about 8 to 18-year-olds. They say 8 to 18-year-olds in America spend 53 hours a week in their phone. At first, you're like, my God, no way. And you're like, well, actually, yeah, now that I think about it, because your face is always right here. And just before you cock your little judgmental nose at them, you're not really different. Here's how I know that. I put something up the other day about 2:30 or 3, and in 5 minutes had 50 likes on Facebook. At 3 in the afternoon, everybody's supposed to be at work. What are you doing in your phone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I mean, if I was your boss, you're like, thank God you're not my boss. But my point is, isn't it true that we all walk around like this? We drive like this. Oh. My point is, distractions. Distractions, when it comes to actually being intentional with connecting with God and hearing him. Distractions. They may get in the way of actually hearing his voice. Hey, Charles, could you help me with something? You have no idea what I'm about to ask you to do. I'm not going to make you come up here, but would you at least just stand up? Everybody, this is Charles. Give Charles a hand. He's like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? This is a great guy. If you don't know Charles, you're missing out. Hey, James, can you stand up on this side? Okay. So in a normal voice, Charles, you be Jesus. Okay. James, you be James. Just normal. No, not for you. Not normal for you. Kind of average normal voice for people. Okay. All right. So Charles, y'all listen to this. In a normal conversation voice, say something to James. Okay, can y'all can tell they can hear each other, right? They're talking back and forth. Why? Because there's nothing happening. There's no distractions. In a calm voice, hey, how's it going? Yeah, we're doing good. So they back and forth, back and forth. Okay, now just to make the illustration complete, I'd like for these two sections to stand up together. Okay? And on the count of three, I want you to start saying the ABCs. Ready? You don't have to scream, just say the ABCs. Now, Charles, you keep talking to James about the same way you were doing. Ready? One, two, three. A-B-C-D-R-G. Come on, talk. How's that conversation? Okay, everybody get it? Y'all can have a seat. My point is, Jesus was talking. But James couldn't hear Jesus because there were 37 notifications on his phone when he picked up his phone. He's got notifications. I got to get those notifications done. I've got to go check the news. I got to see who's on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Snapchat, and all these other things. So it's time for me to do my devotional, but I pick up my phone to actually open the Bible app, and I never get there. Why? Because all those distractions. That makes sense? So it may be a temptation that's evil, or it may simply be something that distracts your attention, but the bottom line is he could no longer hear God. Why? Because there was distractions. So Jesus said that actually affects the way that you hear God's voice. Distracted. So you initially hear it was good, but then things come up along with it, and then it just, you get distracted. Luke 8, verse 14, as we start to wrap up, talks about the third heart, which is the immature heart. Everybody write that down, the immature heart. He said, the seed of his word then fell among thorns, or which are weeds. When those thorns stands for people who hear, but as they go on their way, they're all choked out by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not, what's the word? Mature. Everyone say mature. Mature is a process by which we begin to grow up. God is telling us in this particular example, there are some people who hear the word and it begins to produce something and then it hits something else that chokes it out. And he lists worries, riches, pleasures. And those things choke out the formation of what God was working on and they do not mature. An immature heart is a person who's reached a spot in their developing relationship with God, they're unwilling to take the next step. The next step. Why? Typically, immaturity is caused by a person who refuses to take responsibility. Right? Isn't that usually what immaturity is kind of pinned to? They're just unwilling to take the responsibility for that. So I want somebody to do that for me. I want somebody to do that for me. I want somebody to do that for me. I don't want to actually have to do that. I want somebody to do that for me. I want the pleasure of somebody to take care of that or whatever. But a mature person says, I'm responsible for that. You can tell a mature relationship, when two people have a conflict and each goes out of the way to truly hear where the other person's coming from so they can understand where that person's at and know how to work to resolve that conflict. But you can tell an immature couple because as soon as one or the other is inconvenienced, there's just a fight that happens. Why? Because I don't get my way. Y'all see the difference? Some people, their house is a wreck all the time because they're simply immature. They simply will not vacuum. They won't do the dishes. They won't fold the clothes because they don't want to do that. They would rather sit on the floor because the couch is too full of laundry and watch TV. That's called immaturity. They're unwilling to take the next step. Does that make sense? And God is saying that there is a reason sometimes you don't hear the voice of God anymore. It's because you've reached a place in the developing relationship. You need to take another step. And you're unwilling to take it. Why? Because it's inconvenient. And it'll stunt your growth. It'll stunt your spiritual maturity in God. Let me just make an application here with a couple of shameless applications. 154 people 2 weeks ago and 50 people said yes to Jesus in water baptism last Sunday. You know what would be ideal next steps for at least 50, if not all 154, will be to be at tonight's Fresh Start class. Dinner is included, childcare is included. It's at 5:00, you'll be out by 6:30, which means you got the whole night ahead of you to do whatever you wanted to do. And you know what we're gonna talk about tonight in Fresh Start 2? What do you do with the Bible? What's prayer really about? How does worship figure in? You're like, oh, I know all about that. Yeah, but are you actually doing it? No, I'm not, but I know about that. I don't need the class. Yes, you do. Why? Because you need somebody to refresh your perspective again. Here's what to do when you make a fresh start. Oh, I don't need to do that. You see the loop we go in? And there could be 40 people who said yes to water baptism last week that will say no to that today, and that could be the very next step God's saying, this will unlock something I want to do in you. And I'm not trying to be heavy. I'm just saying that this is literally how the process of growing spiritually happens. Jesus said, I want you to start having a time with me every morning where we meet and we talk about my word. And I want you to spend time in my presence and I want you to understand what worship is. It's like, I don't want to do that. I just want to know about you. Go to church and let somebody else kind of feed me the word. And God said, you're stuck. Do y'all see it? Jesus said, that's going to keep you from hearing the voice of God while your heart's filled with other things that are distractions, keeping you from being mature. Then finally, he actually goes around the corner and talks about the last one, which is the prepared heart. the prepared heart. And that's those who come to the place, they stop making excuses and they start making the changes to deal with either immaturity or minimize distractions or clean up the issues of pollution. Jesus said it this way, the seeds on good soil stand for those who with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, it sticks, they retain it, and by persevering, by effort and by labor, it begins to produce a crop. So he's talking about a person who has gone through the issues of recognizing the devastating effect of pollution in our hearts and says, I'm going to become proactive. I'm going to deal with that. The elements of distraction and how damaging they are, and says, you know what? At least once or twice a day, I'm going to make sure my heart is undistracted by everything till I'm focusing on the voice of God. Meeting him in his word, spending time in worship, spending time in prayer. Why? Because I want him. Or third, I've decided I'm not going to be focused on my own desires, but I'm going to instead become mature. I'm going to take the next step. I'm not sure what that is. If you're not sure and LifeLink is remotely close to your orbit, I'd say tonight either Growth Track Step 2 or Fresh Start. Both at 5, both free dinner, both free childcare. Why don't you come take another look at what God may be lining you up for in a new season? Why? Because something as practical as 90 minutes looking at the voice of God working in the context of a ministry environment, God may unlock something for you that says, now this is the next step. And it's just better than anything you're going to watch on Netflix anyway. Now, if you're scheduled to work tonight, I'm not suggesting you call in sick. But maybe somebody could cover your shift. I'm just trying to get in your mind and say, what would you be willing to do in order to take the next step? Because that could be a very dynamic of preparing your heart. So, polluted heart, distracted heart, an immature heart, or a prepared heart. So if I want to get my heart prepared, what do I need to do? Let me give you three quick words, then we're going to close in prayer. Number one is repent. Repent. Repent has a horribly overbearing religious sound to it. It literally means this is what I was doing. I was confronted with truth and I repented, which means I turned and I did what the truth said to do. That's literally what repentance is, the applicable function of repentance is turning. All right, don't sweat it. Just turn around and go the different direction now that God has pointed that out. The second thing is to refocus. So repent and then refocus. Refocus on what God just talked to you about. Yeah, but I don't really like that. How many of you ever, y'all remember homework? How many of you remember homework? I mean, some of you just went, ugh. You just got a shiver in your liver, right, when you said the word homework. I remember a distinct memory when I was struggling in ninth grade with homework. I'd read the same paragraph in my textbook for like hours. And I was confronted with the fact I had 3 pages of this horribly blah, I don't like this, don't understand it. But I had 3 pages I had to get of it done for a big thing I had to turn in the next day, and I was stuck. And I think it was just the mercy of God who said, you're stuck here because you just don't like it. I'm like, yeah, I hate this stuff. And then I just sensed him say, change your attitude. Your attitude's what stuck you there. Refocus on it. There's something to learn here that's going to actually help you out. So guarantee that there is some level of focus or refocus that needs to happen where you just shift your mind. You take authority of your mind and say, I'm going to study this. I'm going to lean in on this. I'm going to pursue God. Why? Because I love him. In fact, that's the third one is revive. The decision to fall in love with God all over again. The decision to fall in love with God all over again. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both inside and outside, and let's make our entire lives fit and make them holy temples for worship, the worship of God, the worship of God. I'm going to close with a brief conversation I had with one of our doctors here at LifeLink. Recently, this doctor was explaining that there is a frustration that they'll have with people who come to their office. You know, the reason people come to doctor's offices, generally speaking, is there's a problem. And they think the doctor can actually help them with it, right? So they go to the doctor, and they'll sit down with the doctor, and the doctor will say, tell me what's going on, and they'll begin to talk about this problem. I say, okay, no good. Well, let me talk about a few things, and let's figure this out. And the doctor said, listen, we typically know within 30 to 60 seconds actually what's wrong and what to do. But because we need to connect with the person, we need to spend a few more minutes hearing the story and all those things. And said, typically we'll start asking clarifying questions. Well, how are you doing on your diet? Oh, actually, I'm doing much better now, doc. Much better, much better. How's the exercise come? Oh, great, never better. Then the doctor looks down at the charts and says, okay, now your cholesterol is a lot higher than it was last time. Your weight's a lot higher. Your blood sugar is a lot higher. But you're saying you're doing great. And I'm looking at numbers that say you're not doing great. But I can't call you a liar, but I can just make the observation inside. This is interesting. And basically what they're saying is they're never going to do what we actually say. They just want to appeal to help them. Now, they're not being pessimistic. They're dealing with a reality that humanity says, I basically just want to do what I want. Now, the truth of it is, God says, you're actually wiser than that. You're wiser than that. Don't just hear good ideas and think, oh, that's a good idea. Change. Change. Be willing to change. If you want to hear God better, and we're making the case that we need to hear God better, then we need to actually do what Jesus talked about, which is pay attention. There's four different conditions he outlined. Is something polluting our ability to hear God? Do we just have too much junk in our life? Clear that out. Repent. Get healed. Are we distracted? If we're distracted by all the things, figure out a different way to have a devotional. Use a paper Bible. Use a regular notebook, you know? You don't have to have the electronics if that's a distraction for you, but minimize the distractions. Are you immature? You stuck on being self-centered and just, I don't want to do what's necessary because maybe that's what's keeping you. Or are you in a good spot where your heart is tender and the seed God's word falls in your heart and you instantly click onto it and begin to draw out of it what you need and put back into it, and all of a sudden now that seed's beginning to produce transformation and change. Now that's the condition you want to be in. And that condition comes when you decide, I'm going to minimize pollution, minimize distraction, and I'm going to actually minimize the immaturity in my life, and I'm going to take responsibility and go for it. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some practical ideas on how to discern the difference between God's voice and other voices. But before we even get to that spot, God wants us to know we got to start with the heart. Heart affects everything. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You're a good God. Thank you for helping us understand that prepared heart is exactly what we need in order to hear you the best. Now, Lord, that you would spend time with us in the pages of your scripture, giving us practical examples of growing in godliness. We want to say thank you. You know, in this moment, at the end of the sermon, your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give everyone the opportunity to respond to the word of God in a decision of life change. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody moving around, I want to acknowledge that there may be several of you in here today who recognize that as I'm going through this, you never even give God the slightest mention of your mind. You just do what you want all the way through life and never even think, God, is this okay? Am I following you? You may feel a million miles away from God. And I want you to know this morning that God brought you to this place of decision so you could hear the truth of God's word. And you could actually make a change. And really making a change is acknowledging with the outside on your mouth that God, I've sinned against you by doing my own thing. And in doing so, I've created a world in my life where I'm distant from you. I hear the word of your truth, and I'm going to change. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to accept what Jesus did when he paid for my sins by dying on the cross. I believe he is who he says, and as such, I'm going to receive him as my Lord. I'm going to follow him forward. I'm going to let a relationship begin to grow between me and you through Jesus Christ. Many of you right now are facing that reality. And in 30 seconds, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to a call to make a life change. All right, I'm going to count to three. In just a few seconds, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if that's you. And then we're going to pray this prayer together. Ready? One. This is not complicated. It's actually very simple. You're either walking with God relationally through Jesus Christ, or you're not. Two, if you're at a place and you're willing to say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, not knowing exactly everything that means, but knowing inside you that this is what God wants you to do, and you're ready to make that decision today and step forward in a growing relationship with God that will change your life and eternity forever. If that's you, and I say three in just a moment, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand, then we're going to pray together. Ready? Three. Right now, just lift your hand up. Leave it up just for a moment so I can count. Ready? One. Who else? 2. Who else? 3. 4. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just a moment. Okay, you put your hands down. I'd like to ask everyone to pray this prayer out loud with me. These are words with your mouth that your heart's already saying. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth of your word and your son to pay for my sins. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you would cleanse me and you would make me new. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. We're buried, we're raised on the third day, and are alive today in heaven. I choose today to repent, to turn my heart over to you, and follow you through the rest of my life as my only God and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we just give them a great big celebration today? I love that.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.